Hi, welcome to the 13th Warehouse. I'm Vicky.
And I'm Ken.
And this is Doug with the episode credits for Season 3, Episode 11, Emily Lake. Guest starring Anthony Michael Hall as Walter Sykes, Kate Mulgrew as Jane Latimer, Sasha Royce as Marcus Diamond, and Jamie Murray as H.G. Wells. Created by Brent Moat and Jane Espenson. Written by Nell Scovell and Ian Stokes. Executive Story Editor, Derek A. Hughes. Directed by Millicent Shelton. Original air date, October 3rd, 2011.
A search of the warehouse uncovers a swarm of nanites that have infiltrated the warehouse. The nanites were planted by Sally Stokowski in the Van Gogh painting that she helped them recover. After discovering warehouse files, as well as a Regent Use Only file, Atlas 66, have been downloaded, Pete, Micah, and Claudia, against the orders of Artie and Jane, follow the Atlas 66 trail to Cheyenne and to H.G. Wells, who is living as a schoolteacher with no memory of the warehouse. The data breach came from Walter Sykes' hideout. In the hideout, we see that Steve has joined Sykes' team after being burned by the warehouse. Marcus is able to capture H.G., who is now Emily Lake. Sykes wants to restore H.G.'s consciousness into Emily's body through the Janus coin, which was used by the Regents originally to separate her from her consciousness. Pete, Micah, and Claudia retrieve the coin, and after speaking with H.G.'s consciousness, they agree to destroy the coin, ending any chance of Sykes being able to get at H.G.'s mind. Pete and Marcus show up and take the coin, but not before Steve is able to tell Claudia that he's still working for the warehouse and is undercover in Sykes' organization. He takes the coin, but gives her the location of the hideout. Sykes restores H.G., who now realizes that Pete was unsuccessful in destroying the coin. Pete, Micah, and Claudia arrive at the hideout too late to capture Sykes and too late to save Steve. Steve is dead.
Time to pinpoint that signal.
I'm trying, but whatever's transmitting from inside the warehouse has slowed the whole system to a crawl.
Pete, Micah, any sign of the intruder yet?
Atlanta 36J, it's quiet.
Ditto in Montgomery, 84K.
Clean in the Farnsworth file.
The archive is safe.
Hi, we're back for Season 3, Episode 11, Emily Lake. And the artifact of the week from Wiki Warehouse is the Janus coin. Anything the person holding the coin remembers is instantly forgotten. It can cause the user to forget certain things, or it can cause full-blown amnesia. However, the memories forgotten by the user are stored on the coin like the files of a computer are stored on a disk.
The coin can be placed in a black sphere that will project a holographic image of the user that'll remember everything the real user has forgotten. The user can reverse the effect of the artifact by holding the coin again.
Say hello to my little friend!
So, what did you think about this episode?
I liked the episode. And then there's times it just pissed me off again because it's starting to be like a norm, I guess. You know, it is a good episode, and it's like it has some heart. I think it has a little bit of everything, a little bit of suspense.
I like the episode, too. It was sad, but I did like it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Kim went last week with her notes, so I'm just going to start. Anyway, we were wondering when the nanites would come back into play, and finally they're there.
We're downloading a massive amount of data and transmitting it.
To where?
I can't tell yet.
I want those things out of my warehouse now!
It could take me days to interface with their coding, Artie.
Plan B, when you got bugs, you zap them.
The Atlas 66 file that Claudia discovers that Walter stole.
Something wrong here, Tyler?
No, Mr. Sykes, I think the warehouse found and shut down all the nanites.
Before you got what I needed?
No, I got it. You'll be happy.
Have you decrypted the data yet?
You know, Jane says was Regent use only. But then we find out later in the episode that it refers to when and where H.G. was born. Atlas House in 1866 or something.
Yeah.
So Lenka's upset with herself that she should have known that. And Pete, you know, agrees with her. Sloppy of her.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Micah had balls in this episode.
Atlas 66, but it's majorly encrypted.
That file is for Regent use only.
Well, here's hoping. How do you think Sykes could have opened that file?
I'm not even sure I could crack it.
Well, you don't have to. Jane has access. She can tell us what's in the file, and we can finally get ahead of Sykes.
That's not how we'll proceed.
But this could be our chance to shut Sykes down.
The Regents have a plan in place, Agent Baring.
She just went off on Jane about letting them investigate.
Perhaps I haven't been clear. We have a plan in place.
Well, perhaps I haven't been clear. We need to know what's in that file. Right, Pete?
Mm-hmm. Well, Micah, if she says there's a plan in place, we need to respect that, right? I mean, she is wearing the Ramadi shackle, so warehouse protection is her call.
Thank you, Pete.
And Pete looked like he was afraid. I think he is afraid of his mother, but he knew, you know, as we hear later, that it's not worth arguing with her. They just needed to go off and do it on their own.
Right. And that's the part. Just that constant thing to where, you know, wait a minute. It's going to be fine, but just wait a minute. And she doesn't wait a minute. It's always there. We got to kind of do it now. But sometimes you need to step back for a minute.
Right. But in this case, I think things probably would have gone the same way if they waited, if they didn't get involved. Marcus already knew where Emily Lake was. It wasn't them that led him to her. Without them, I think they wouldn't have known that Emily Lake was even missing, number one, because Marcus would have taken her and none of them would have known what they were up to. At least this way they knew what he was up to. They didn't stop him.
Right. But my thing is, I still think they were part of the original plan.
So you think that the Regents knew that they were going to jump in?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That could be.
She never pulled back and said to a Regent, they're going to handle this. It was just part of the process. They kind of knew what they were going to do. But sometimes I like for them to at least go, well, step back for a moment. I would like to see that. But I still believe that they were part of the initial plan anyway, because they know how they are.
Right.
And like I said, the Regents have this special gift, so they know.
Well, you know, I kind of agree with that now that I'm thinking about it, because while I was watching it, I kept saying, I know Artie follows the rules, but I can't believe he's going along with them staying out of it.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, Artie says, and with that, we're out of it. And he's got to know, even if the Regents don't know, he's got to know that they're not going to stay out of it. So you're probably right. I didn't even think of that. But now that you say that, that makes perfect sense.
Hey, did you follow us here?
No, I've known about the Pete cave forever. Who do you think keeps us stocked with cream soda?
Really? That was you?
Pete has a Pete cave.
I must have missed it. Go ahead.
When Micah finds out that he really is investigating the whole thing.
Oh, the Pete cave.
Yeah, he calls it a Pete cave. And did you read his investigation board?
No, I only saw the picture that was drawn.
Okay, now, these are the facts. Walter Sykes, paralyzed as a child, gets his hands on the Coyote bracelet, which allows him to walk again, but apparently turns him into, like, the worst guy ever.
Right.
The warehouse snags it. Sykes wants it back. He makes millions in hedge funds. Then, 10 years ago, he cashes out and apparently vanishes off the face of the earth.
So he's been planning a run at the warehouse for a long time.
Right, but the minions he's hired to do his dirty work all have one thing in common.
They're dead.
Well, the obit says that Sikowski died of an undetected heart defect. Yeah, right.
So who's working for Walter Sykes now?
On the investigation board, he has, under Sally's part, he writes, FBI agent gone bad. What's up with the accent? What's her real story? How long has she been helping Sykes? And then he's got dead and with her obituary. So he wants to know what's up with the accent too. Maybe we're not done with the subject. So Jamie Murray, I thought, was hilarious in this episode playing Emily Lake. When she jumped under the desk, I don't know how long I laughed about that.
Well, that's new.
Why'd you come in here all guns a-blazing? Hello?
Hi.
Where are you people? What do you want from me?
We're United States Secret Service. We may be dealing with a case of identity theft. We just need to see your driver's license.
It's in my purse.
Careful, Micah. Well, it could be booby-trapped.
When they first found her, I thought she was pretending that she didn't know who they were.
I did too.
And then later on, we find that she wasn't, obviously. But then it was also funny when it was HG they were talking to, how she reacted to owning a cat.
I know, but a cat! Oh, that was too funny.
HG Wells is a cat lady?
Yeah, good boy. Living with a cat in Wyoming.
Also, you have an American accent and a really girly scream.
That's a cat.
Dickens is solid. Saved my bacon.
Yes, I don't know what that means.
Even when she picked up the cat, I thought she was going to say something, you know, like H.G. Wells would have came out of her.
Yeah.
But it didn't. And when I think about these cats, the protector of things in Egypt.
Oh, that's right.
So somewhere along the line, I thought the cat was supposed to be there for like a protection, or if somebody came into the house to get her, the cat would like attack. It was just a fat cat.
That would have made sense, though, because at the grocery store later, Micah figures out that that grocery list is all the things that the Egyptians put in the tombs.
Alfred, let's go shopping.
Yes.
So, yeah, that would have made perfect sense.
And it was just a fat cat.
But she acted like it was the worst thing. She kept going back to it, even though they were talking about somebody was trying to hijack her or whatever. All she was worried about was why she had a cat.
Yep. Oh, that was funny when she said that.
We're going to pause right here for a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey, Dud Gramley here from Yeah, That Can't Be Good. If you're a fan of Warehouse 13, it is very likely you're also a fan of Eureka. And if you aren't, you should be. Please join Kim, Vicky, Skip, and myself over at Yeah, That Can't Be Good for an episode-by-episode podcast of all things Eureka. You can listen at EurekaRewatch.com on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. I just thought it was sad when Pete and Micah find out that Steve's working for Sykes.
Yeah.
And it was even sadder when Claudia found out when Artie told her.
Steve,
took my Tesla.
Working for Sykes.
Where's Marcus?
Marcus? Oh, is that your new partner? The guy who just tried to kill me? I got some bad news for you, pal. What the hell?
Is that HG?
Yes.
Now that we're done?
No. No, what? That's, Artie, that's not even possible. Steve would never turn on us. We're his friends. He must be being controlled or blackmailed, or maybe there's an article.
He Tesla'd Pete and Micah. He kidnapped HG. No one was forcing him to do those things.
Then this is the Regent's fault. They burned him. They gave him no choice.
Everyone has a choice.
Yeah.
And she wouldn't believe it. She wouldn't believe it. And then when she did believe it, she blamed Artie, or she blamed the Regents.
Mm-hmm.
So she didn't even believe it really when they were in the woods until Steve pointed a gun at them. So I'm not sure. I can't tell if Artie knew the Regent's plan beforehand.
Part of me wants to say he knew. Part of me feels he knew.
That's what I thought too. But then when he was telling Claudia after Pete tells him about Steve, it sounded like he didn't. It sounded like he really thought Steve went bad. And so I'm on the fence as to whether he knew or not. And like you said, I do believe that now that you said that, that this was all part of the Regent's plans. But I'm not sure that they knew it was.
Artie also had to play that part, though. I believe Artie had to play a part in convincing, even though she didn't want to hear it, to convince him that Steve is on the wrong side. Because at one point, I'm like, does he know? Does he doesn't know? Part of me saying he does know, he had to play the part. I want to say this time they let Artie in on it. Like, I could be wrong, but I want to say they let Artie in on it this time.
Yeah, I couldn't tell at all whether he was in on it or not. I can't make a decision at all about that. But It was confusing. But, I mean, I guess it doesn't matter. Because whether or not he was in on it, what got done.
Right.
And then I liked the Regent Vault that required the key, like we said, and the purchase of specific items.
Items. And then when I see them there in the grocery store, I'm like, oh, okay.
Let's go shopping. And you were right. We talked about why people were chosen for regents. And I said I thought that Jane was a teacher, but then I wasn't sure if I even heard that or if I was making that up.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when she has the talk with Artie, she was a teacher and she was chosen for her insight into children.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a good feeling about all this. I'm not used to military maneuvers. I'm an elementary school teacher.
Elementary school teacher to regent. Strange trajectory.
Not at all. Each regent is selected for his or her area of expertise. Each brings a unique perspective. I was chosen for my insight into children.
And then the whole thing in the woods. Pete comes up with the idea of destroying the Janus coin, which is the logical thing to do. And he knew they weren't going to go for it.
Okay. My thing is, too, and I wrote it down, why does everything take so long?
The discussion, you mean?
Yes. It's just like, and I knew this was going to happen. It's not like saying that I knew, you know, even though I seen it years ago, but you could feel that this is what's going to happen because it's stalling time. And, you know, Claudia had to go get A.C. Wells and, you know, trying to convince Micah. You know what? Shoot the coin and call it a daggone day. You know what I mean? I know this is a step in the process, but
right.
That's the part that worked my nerves, is that stalling for time where you have to have a discussion. Everything don't need to be discussed.
And we've said that before in this series.
Yes. I'm just noting more and more as we go on.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? It's like, if this is how you feel, discuss it and let them be mad at you later. But shoot the coin. But this I knew was going to happen. And they knew he had other artifacts.
Spoiler alert. The following 20 seconds is a spoiler from the next episode. I make a point of not watching episodes ahead, but in this case, I was all caught up on editing, so I thought I'd get a jump on writing the recap for the next episode. And if I hadn't, I would have realized when the subject came up that it was a spoiler and it wouldn't have shown up in the episode. So, sorry about that.
I want to know what artifacts is on Marcus.
Is on him?
Yes. Marcus is dead.
Oh, I didn't know what you meant. Okay. I thought you meant what he was carrying around or something.
Mm-mm,
okay.
No.
Okay.
I want to know what's on him.
Right. And I actually do remember that, so I'm not going to.
Because I don't remember.
End spoiler.
Because I'm going, yeah, the cast still didn't happen. But anyway, they're fighting on the terrace, and it would have been a nice time for the cat to jump on Marcus's face and knock him over the balcony. But nevertheless, it's still the fat cat, and Marcus is on the ground all twisted up.
Yeah. See, I think now we're getting to the episodes. Like, I can remember things that are coming up specifically. Mm-hmm. Up until now, I remembered characters, and that's it, really. And I didn't remember the background of all this stuff. So I always knew that Steve was going to die. I didn't remember this. I knew he was coming, and I knew he died. But I didn't remember the circumstances around it. I just knew that he died. I remember that scene with him sitting in the chair with, you know, with his head back.
Yeah, I don't remember that. But I had a feeling he was going to die because everyone dies.
Well, everyone that works for him, it seems like.
Dies. Yeah, right. He dies.
Right.
So he worked for him. And everybody that worked for him dies. I'm just going to see. I don't know what Marcus's outcome, because eventually Marcus is going to die. I just don't know how yet and what kept him alive.
You have to imagine he's going to die too, because it just seems like every single person that works for him is dead. But like I said, I knew Steve was going to die. I didn't remember the circumstances around it. I just remembered that he died. But now I'm remembering things that are coming up. So hopefully you'll get a lot less crazy theories from me, because I actually do remember some stuff. So you could be in charge of the crazy theories until you start remembering stuff.
Okay.
I know it was taking too long, but I did think the whole thing in the woods was really nice. You know, HG was willing to sacrifice herself for the warehouse. Yes. So she's changed a lot.
May I offer an opinion? I figured she should be part of this discussion.
There is no discussion.
Agreed. If you truly want to protect the warehouse, you must destroy the coin.
Yes, in my theory. Okay. I think that because she also remembers what they told her about him, he's not going to be able to do everything he wants with her. He's not going to be able to do everything he wants with H.G. Wells. But somewhere in her long in her mind or heart, they said something about compassion, humility, or something. So I believe she's still going to carry some of that, and he's not going to get everything he wants from her.
No, and you could tell by her face when he brings her back, and when she finally remembers who she is, you could tell by her face she wasn't going to help him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he might not know that yet, but she wasn't going to help him. So I did. I liked that in the woods, and I missed it the first time. I totally missed it. She mentions Claudia's destiny to her.
Mm-hmm.
You know how Claudia, we assume, is going to be the next caretaker, whenever that may be.
Right.
And she mentions that.
Yes, she does.
You know, and she says the same thing to her. She said she'll be ready and she knows that she can do it or something like that. But then when they put her back in the dome thing, she says she, the last thing she wants to see is the sky. And she holds on to that necklace of her daughter. So I thought that was a nice scene.
Yes.
And then finally, Steve tells Claudia the plan when they stop them from destroying the coin. You know, at that point, Claudia is mad at him. She really does finally believe that he went to the wrong side.
Right.
But fortunately, she ran, so they were able to be in the woods alone together, and he finally tells her.
He told me your mom's plan. You want this coin? You're gonna have to shoot me.
Listen, I am undercover. The whole thing has been a setup. Mrs. F firing me in Atlanta, Jane and the Regents burning me. My mission is to gain Sykes' trust so I can learn what he's planning. Now, can you calm down?
You Tesla'd Pete and Micah.
Better than letting Marcus shoot them.
And it was kind of sad when he says that he couldn't save his sister, but he could protect her because she wanted him to just leave, get out of there.
Right.
Which makes it sadder when he dies, because now she's also probably going to blame herself because he said, I couldn't protect my sister, but I can protect you.
And she's alone again.
Right. And he made it personal. He said, I can protect you. I think she's going to have a problem with that. The biggest thing in the episode was, you know, the Pete character drives me crazy. Not that I don't like him. Of course I like him. I wouldn't watch the show if I didn't like him. But he's annoying to me. And he's supposed to be, I'm sure. But the biggest thing was his face when he walked in that room. He didn't have to say anything. You knew what happens.
Oh, when you went upstairs.
Oh, what a great, I don't know what to call it, face acting or something. He didn't need to say one single thing.
And you he didn't.
And you knew what he was looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he came downstairs and didn't want to tell Claudia, he kept telling her to go back to the car. But of course, now she knows something's wrong.
They're gone. Let's get back to the car.
What's wrong?
Claudia, I said get back to the car.
Pete, what is it?
Please get back to the car.
That whole scene was just...
Yeah, even the look on Micah's face.
Yeah, but he did a hell of a job.
Yeah.
I mean, you knew Claudia was going to get upset and scream, but he did a hell of a job in that whole scene.
Mm-hmm.
So anything else that we didn't talk about?
I think the only thing was, there was a part, it had me dying when Artie did it, Miss Frederick.
Absolutely. That made me laugh.
Busted?
Did you just Mrs. Frederick me?
Mm-hmm, that made me laugh. She was fake just playing the game. That's what it was. That's
right.
Your house. I was dying because all of a sudden he comes out of nowhere. But as parents, we do that.
And she should have known that. I can't believe she fell for that.
Yeah.
You know, you wait a few minutes before you open up the computer again.
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, that was funny. And I was surprised she didn't pop up out of nowhere either.
I know. Was she even in this episode? I don't think so.
No, because I figured she would have been behind Artie. And then after would have been shocked for both of them. But that would have been cool if she would have popped up too.
Yeah.
And just said, what do you mean? So, yeah, it was a good episode, but that's all I have.
Yeah, pretty much that's all I have, because they're both working on the same case, so we don't have an A story and a B story. But it was a really good episode, and the end was just, they did such a good job at the end. I mean, yeah, all of them, but Pete mostly.
Pete did be proud, yes.
All right, so next week's the season finale, so we'll be back unless you have something else.
No, I'm good.
All right, so we'll be back next week for the season finale.
All right, see you next week.
See you next week.
Steve, you're still trying to decide if you can trust me?
Well, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, right? Look, I just want my life back. My own job, my reputation.
The warehouse burned you. It burned me, too. You know, the Regents have a nasty habit of reaching out and destroying people's lives.
Believe me, I've noticed. So, if I help you get the Clodagh bracelet back, you can get me reinstated at the ATF.
Yeah, or you can have a blank check and start a new life. That's your call.
Okay, DC, tell us what's next.
Join us next time for Season 3, Episode 12. Stand by now!
Bye.
Bye!
Hey, this is Doug Gramley reminding you to follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/the13thwarehouse. On Twitter at Eureka Warehouse. On Instagram at Eureka_warehouse. On our website at the13thwarehouse.com or on Podbean. Theme music for the 13th Warehouse, Reflections in the Mirror, provided by Esther Garcia under their standard license. See you next time in the 13th Warehouse.
And now we're also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.